Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike Dottiglio along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 6:30 tonight, and then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hollis hosting the Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Dennis Allen. And his guest tonight will be Saints linebackers coach Mike Hodges. And then at 7:30, right here on the Big 870 and free on the Odyssey app, we'll have Monday Night Football. A lot of interest here. Philadelphia Eagles, who the Saints play next, versus the Atlanta Falcons. And so you can hear that game live right here on the Big 870 WWL. And so want to thank some guys from the Bayou showed up over here, always supporting the Who Dat Nation, Pat Barker and Mitch Denall. So great to see you guys make that travel on the Bayou. I don't think y'all had too much damage for the storm. So
representing the Bayou.
So, yeah, representing the Bayou coming out here. We appreciate it, guys. He's here each and every Monday night, Mr. Dave Hilbert from the Silver Slipper.
Great to be here, man. Great to be here.
All right, Dave. Joy brought the cake out. Joy Vining brought the cake out here and everything. But come on, I think you like every Saints fan. It's not a surprise. It's almost a shock how this team has played on offense the last 2 weeks. You were like, come on. Is this sort of a mirage? But it's real life, and they've taken it to the Panthers, and it was all because it was the Panthers. Wait till they play the Cowboys. The deal?
Damn Cowgirls. Listen, I don't know. Look, we have a great crowd here tonight. I don't know if it's because we whipped the Cowgirls or we got the Taylor Swift version of the Silver Slipper, Dave Hilbert.
We can take that a couple of different ways.
Wherever Dave goes, the crowd goes.
Oh, yeah, man.
He's like a rock star. Dave Hilbert, Silver Slipper goes hand in hand.
Dave, if you were charging per seat like Taylor does, you wouldn't be working here in the Silver Slipper. I can tell you that.
You guys. No, man. Tell you what, my hair is still standing up on those for those last two games. It feels like 2009 all over again.
Oh, and you know, it's not that far off.
No.
When you look at it, Dave, we didn't even plan this, but I'm glad you brought that up. You know, the Saints have now scored 40-plus points in each of its first two games. Now, they had 18 to do that AFL-NFL merger. If you look at it in each of the first two games, now the last to do it, the Packers did it in 2020. But the 2009 Saints accomplished that feat. What happened in 2009? Black and gold in the Super Bowl. Black and gold. So I don't know. It's all baby steps. You got to slow your roll, you know, go through September, October, and all that. But the last time we witnessed this as a Saints organization was the magical season. I'm just saying, Dave, so we got to be optimistic. Look at the glass half full instead of half empty.
And Derek Carr's quarterback rating averages 142.
Okay, Dave, not 100 or 98 or high. No, number one in the NFL.
Right.
142. We got the right quarterback. I'll tell you, the system we doing and what we do, how we trying to attack defenses, we got the right formula.
Guys, think about this. At halftime for week one, the Saints led 30-3. Then the Saints led the Cowboys 35-16. There's only two other teams in the history of the National Football League that have scored at least 30 points in the first half of their first two games. That was the 1968 Oakland Raiders, Daryl LaMonica, the Mad Bomber.
Yeah, Mad Bomber number three. Yeah,
he was there. The 2001 Indianapolis Colts. Now, I could have maybe guessed the Raiders in the 60s. The Indianapolis Colts in 2001 did it. Guess who was the head coach? Your former coach.
Jim Moore,
his last season in Indianapolis. But guess who was playing quarterback?
Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Yeah, Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, I want to say off the top of my head, because it's hard to do, win like seven straight seasons to win like 12 games. You know,
had a losing season in 2001.
But
they won the first two games and scored 30 points in the first half.
After that, Moore gets fired and all that. Bill Polian goes against them. But they had like seven years where they won 12 games or more in a row. Now, I remember Mike being a part of a team that won 12 games twice and 11 games. I thought that was
just a look with that
accomplishment. But you know what, Dave and Mike, you know what's interesting? How do you shake up a team? How do you get the right coaches mixed with the right players? You know why it is similar to 2009? I got to give Jeff Duncan credit for this. But Dennis Allen's hiring of Clint Kubiak to fix the Saints offense is very similar, and maybe you could produce the same kind of outcome. I don't know. But the impact when Sean Payton hired Greg Williams on the team's defense in 2009. Now, different sides of the ball, but Greg Williams, the impact he had on our defense, and because offense, that was Sean Payton's baby. Well, Dennis Allen, the defense, his baby. So what are you going to do offense? So I think Clint Kubiak might be the reincarnation of Greg Williams. And what I mean?
Well, that's no way he's the same personality.
Well, no,
man,
I'm not
Greg
saying,
Williams.
No,
we had
Greg
him on.
Williams wanted to do interviews.
Oh, Greg, I mean, they had to limit him to one spot.
But I'm talking about the impact. The impact on the side of the ball that they're in charge. I'm telling you, that's what's similar. You know, the right hires and the players to buy in to what you preaching and teaching them. I think you might see that with Clint Kubiak in the offense. We've seen that now two games. And that's what this Greg Williams, still, bound to gave it all. You know, you look at everything that came about with him. So what? It's tackle football. It's a violent sport. So, I mean, everybody did
you,
that.
You saw it yourself. Yeah. Man, Jerry Glanville, what he had this big wad.
A lot of cash. I mean, I was playing. You know what? One time, you ever seen a firecracker thing at like the 4th of July? And it was like it's a big round thing, and you light the firecracker, and they all go off. Jerry Glanville, to make it look like it more money than it was, he had 5,000 $1 bills all in a bind, and whoever had the knockout hit, like on kickoff coverage or punt coverage, well, I'm talking about, he trying to knock the guy out. Now, you can't do that anymore. You were getting that wad of cash. Coach Bobby April knows about that. Now, he might not admit that.
And it was $5,000 cash money that nobody knew about.
Can you imagine getting rewarded as a player? $5,001 bill.
Oh, man. But, you know, Alvin Kamara, if that's true, Alvin Kamara had a good payday yesterday.
Was unbelievable. Dave, tell everybody what's happening here at the Silver Slipper.
We're just about 3 weeks away from cruising the coast. It's going to be that's when they have the 25,000 classic cars are here for 2 weeks. And we have Nick Persons, a great Elvis impersonator from Hammond's, going to be here.
I saw that. You had posted that.
Yeah, he's really good. And, of course, we still have our Rumble on the Gulf every Thursday night under the hotel, where all the classic cars, bikes, and Jeeps. And the last Saturday of the month, we're giving away a Ford Ranger.
You got it right out here in front.
Yeah,
you got
right
the
there.
Ford
nice
Ranger,
nice
right?
Red one. Yep, nice. Yeah. Good. And also, too, we have the Pick the Pros on our kiosk that you can play one time for free each week. And who won this week? Lisa from Macomb, she picked 14 out of 14 correct picks.
What?
Yeah, it's pretty rare to do that.
Wow.
14 out of 14.
So Lisa, but we got to put her on the payroll.
Yeah, we got to put her on
the pick, yeah.
Lisa, call into the show. Talk to Charlie Long. We might have to have a conversation somewhere along the line. If you
right
go
team.
14 for 14,
yeah,
man, good gracious. That is really good.
So hopefully she don't tell you why I picked this team because I like the colors.
The orange Bears uniforms.
We all in the pick'em deal, and you know you can do that 1 week, but can you do it consistently?
Yeah.
That's why Buddy used to always tell me, Mike, I'm telling you, if you could pick 63% of the games, you would be considered a genius over a course of a season. 63%. Now, you said some people, they'll lie to you and tell you, I'm in the 70s.
No, they tell you when they win, they don't tell you when they lose.
They'll never tell you when they lose on that deal. Number one buffet of the Mississippi Gulf.
Number one steakhouse
here on the Gulf Coast. Dave, come on down to
the
Silver Slipper. Are you still giving away them tumblers?
Yes, we are, man, all the way through the end of the month.
How about the smart TVs?
Smart TVs are coming in October. Every Sunday through Thursday, 7 p.m., 50-inch smart TV.
Who dat? Come on down to the Silver Slipper. Thank you, Dave.
We'll be back and see Dave.
With Big John from Mid City right after this break here on the Big 870.
He's the Taylor Swift for the Silver Slipper right here, Dave Hilbert.
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. Live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Got a full crowd here tonight. Want to thank everybody for showing up. And even Chack Bay showed up over here, so we appreciate it. But I know it was a short ride. You're taking a little heat, but he did show up.
And you know what's crazy? Chack Bay gave me 10 points in the Saints. I'm like, what the hell? It's like...
So you could have given him 10 and it wouldn't have even been close.
The final score was 54 to 19. I got 10 points, but you know what? We donated the charity in Terrebonne.
To Joey?
To Joey, yeah, about, teach young kids how to swim and all that. And, that is going to a good cause. But you know
what? Hey, we appreciate you showing up.
I appreciate him showing up. But let me tell you right now, Chack Bay, you can't get more Louisiana than Chack Bay. How in the hell you cheer for the Cowgirls? Okay, but you know why he's a fake Cowgirl fan? Because he's cheering for the Eagles against the Saints. No Dallas fan ever cheers for the Eagles, Giants, or the Commanders. No. You never go with the NFC East. No. That's why, come on, Chack Bay, that's too much being a front runner. You can't be. He did acknowledge, though, that he's worried about his team because they're not even the state champs. He knows the Houston Texans are in a better situation right now than the Cowgirls.
And last night you saw they didn't play their best, and they still – man, I give the Bears a lot of credit. They hung in there defensively. Caleb, he was all over the board.
It shows you how tough the NFL is. It ain't no – you go high school to college and college to pros. You could be an outstanding, unbelievable Heisman Trophy winner – and you look at that verse. Look, you know who's doing better than Caleb Williams? Jayden Daniels. Jayden Daniels is playing better. But you look. Look, Sean Payton said Bo Nix is the next Drew Brees. What? Slow your roll, Coach Payton. So slow your roll on Bo Nix. I don't know about the Broncos. You got to wait for them to actually do something in the NFL. The NFL's hard. People don't realize how competitive, how hard.
Bobby, we get them. Oh, football is football. No, it ain't.
No,
okay, you've only played high school football, and come on, you can't compare high school football to college and college to the pros. It's a totally different game. The speed of the game
and how they come. And Caleb Williams is like saying, man, when I was at USC.
I didn't see nothing like this.
It was a whole lot easier than it is with the Bears.
We're going to go to our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text lines. Go to Big John in Mid-City. Big John, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen, and Mr. and Mrs. Hoodat Nation, and hail to the mighty Cowgirl humbling Saints. And Mike, you know, I'm going to take you to task humorously right now because you predicted the game would be a defensive struggle with a low score. Well, you were only half right yesterday because the Saints played some excellent defense, being led by the ageless DeMario Davis and a seemingly born-again Tyrann Mathieu. But, you know, we all agreed that it's the offense that particularly shone yesterday, and I'm sure that no one was happier than you to be wrong about how the Cowgirls were going to play.
Man, listen, I thought this would be a low-scoring game, like 27-20, something like that.
I thought Vegas had it right, that the Saints are 6.5-point underdog.
But man,
and I said, we can upset Dallas, but I don't know if we will.
After I saw the first series, I was like, man, I'm wrong on this. They're going to put some points up. Now, I was close on the Cowboys, 19. But, man, everything else, the Saints, it was not surprising. It was shocking to see them again put up these kind of numbers because no one could have predicted this, Big John. No one could have said that this would happen in this manner.
Well, because the damn Cowgirls are overrated. Oh, the Dallas. Oh, the Cowgirls. Everybody wants to say, oh, like Dallas, the America's team. Well, we the damn world's team. We universal. Who that nation? We're not only Gulf Coast, Gulf South. I mean, you think in Europe, you might say, oh, well, would you rather hang out in New Orleans or if you come to America, you rather hang out in New Orleans or Dallas? Well, what are you going to do in Dallas? You going to watch tumbleweeds and stuff? I mean, it's more eccentric. to come in New Orleans. I mean, there's the bottom line is we are more the world's team. Now, you might remember old school Dallas, J.R. Ewing and all that. Everybody wants to be a cowboy and all that. But right now, the Cowboys are cowgirls. No, that football team is wearing skirts. They ain't knocking on snot bubble. The Dallas Cowgirls are soft. Just I tell you what. Who does Dallas play? They're playing the Ravens.
The Ravens.
Oh, okay. Good luck, Derrick Henry. Run right at him. Run right at him like the Packers and the Saints did. Like the Packers did in the playoffs. And the Saints, you know, the Browns screwed up. They're trying to make Deshaun Watson throw the ball too much.
No.
Run right at him. Run right at Dallas.
It's almost like they had not watched film of what really worked against Dallas in the past. Big John, I'm going to let you follow that.
Well, you know, guys, I know you all like history. Bobby, I know you particularly like history. You know, I like history. But on November the 27th, 2000, the day after the Saints and Aaron Brooks in his first NFL start defeated the greatest show on turf, our dear departed Buddy D asked rhetorically what many in the Hoodat Nation were probably asking yesterday and are still asking today, and that is, who were those guys? And my answer to that then, as it is, as it was back then, it is now, that's the New Orleans Saints, and they were the winners of yesterday's football game. And let me be clear, and I hope you're listening, Chuck Bay, okay? The Cowgirls did not lose the game. They did not give it away. They did not show up yesterday or whatever the rest of you bonehead Cowgirls fans think, okay? The Saints won the football game, and they won it decisively on both sides of the ball, and in the special teams as well. And Bobby, I know you said it a couple of times. I'm going to say it too. That was a complete overall ass whipping.
And It wasn't even close. Dallas looked like the JV, and we were the varsity. You know, you got some like 9th graders, the 10th graders playing, trying to play with the 11th, 12th graders. No, it was like the varsity versus the JV. I mean, that's the bottom line. You know, I wish TV would have put and filmed Jerry Jones more about his reaction. You know, as nice and sweet as Gail Benson is, the owner of the Saints, and Jerry Jones, you know, he has his own show and all that. Well, you know what? This nice, sweet old lady, Ms. Gail Benson, whipped Jerry Jones' ass and his team. You know, when they go to meetings and all they talk, Jerry, well, we had a good time. You know, playing y'all and stuff. Think about that, about Gail Benson, how sweet she is, and Jerry Jones, a little arrogant that he is, and that it doesn't matter, your team didn't show up. They didn't show up. And let me tell you, Dallas is so overrated, sometimes it's frustrating. It is frustrating because if they actually would have won something, when they won something last, 1996? I was still playing, and I got freaking white hair and stuff. I mean, to show you Dallas has been so irrelevant, I mean, it's unbelievable.
It's like they say at the end of the Beverly Hillbillies, y'all come back now, you hear?
Y'all come back now, you know. And you know what? You know what? Then all of a sudden you see Dak Prescott and the Cowgirl players doing interviews. And Jerry Jones worked out his own deal with Pepsi. You know, Pepsi's probably trying to renege on that deal. You look at the banner. You look at the banner they have with other players of Pepsi. Pepsi says, I don't know if we want to be part of the Cowgirls anymore.
Thanks so much for the call, Big John. We appreciate it, bud. Let's go to Chuck and Gonzalez. Chuck in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
Hey, Mike, Bobby, I just want to say one thing. Steve Young did an interview with Dan Patrick, and he said, quarterback can't really show who he is behind a bad offensive line. And let me tell you something. I don't know who this guy Luke Patrick is. And I don't know how we got him, but whoever pulled that trigger was one of the smartest people on our team, on our
started a number
people.
Of games.
Yeah,
right?
he started at both center and guard for the Bears.
Bears, yeah.
He's a good technician. He isn't the biggest, strongest, or quickest guy in the world. But what he's always been known at, even in Duke, and then he comes into the NFL, he's a great technician.
Well,
he knows how to tie you up.
And Mike, he could be our new version of James Hurst. Why not?
Because he can play both center and guard. He can't play tackle, but center and guard.
You plug and play, and he's done a formidable job. I mean, I am. Let me tell you what. Still, going into the Eagles game, I am so ecstatic with our offensive line.
Man, Bob, I tell you who played yesterday. Taliase Fuaga, a rookie who has really not played much left tackle. He basically blocked out the sun yesterday.
And his back
he got a back issue.
His back issue, he probably gave him a shot so he don't feel
his
back.
He got the bad lumbago.
So maybe he woke up this morning feeling like crap, but I don't know. He just give him another shot next Sunday. I'd be ready to roll and go against the Eagles. Come on.
But you're right about Lucas Patrick. I thought he had a very good game, and so did Taliaferro.
I can tell you, I am so confident in the Saints right now. If our offensive line plays like they played the first two games, the Saints are winning. I'm telling you, we're winning. I don't know about winning a Super Bowl, but we're in the hunt. We're in the hunt. If our offensive line, because I think all other areas, I think we're going to be fine. Can
that
we get
was
that
the big question.
The
part.
Consistency of offensive line, hell yeah, we're in the hunt.
We'll be back. Thanks so much for the call, Chuck. We appreciate it. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on the Second Guess Show. Mike Dettelia along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at a full house at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Want to tell everybody thanks for coming out tonight, supporting the black and gold. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line, we have on with us the head football coach of the Nicholls State Colonels, Tim Rebo. And the Tim Rebo Show is brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. Tim, thanks so much for joining us. Tim, you saw the full fury of Sacramento State Saturday night. Man, they were clicking on all cylinders, starting off the season 0-2. But, man, everything seemingly worked for them. And sometimes you have games like that that, man, you catch a team. And you brought up last week, and Bob and I talked about it throughout the week, they may be the biggest team FCS-wise. And, man, they sure looked it.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a tough week, and what a difference a week does make. You know, we had flying out to the West Coast. I thought we had a good trip. I thought we were prepared. The guys had did some good things during the week. But for whatever reason, we came out sluggish. We came out slow. We fell behind and tried to fight back at the end of the half, but we just couldn't get anything going. And it was that home opener, Mike. They were 0-2. And, you know, just like us, and they had played two FBS schools also. I got to give them credit. They beat us in the trenches. They beat us up front, and that's where the game was won.
You know, Coach Rebo, how do you challenge a team? Is it very similar to maybe where you were last year? Because you still have a big light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you look at the postseason conference play. Is that kind of where you're at right now, that you're one game at a time and take care of what you could do in the conference?
Yeah, I think so, Bobby. I think the guys knew we had a tough three-game stretch here. The only difference, I think, where it is, last year after three games in week four, we were going open conference play. This year, we still have two more non-conference games that we can still fix some things and try to get us rolling on the right track. But, look, as a coach, you know you got to sell that all of our goals are still in front of us. Everything is still in front of us. Now, we got our home opener this weekend, and we want to go 1-0.
Tim, I think you're always concerned about when you start the season against a Louisiana Tech and an LSU, and Sacramento State's a very physical team. How you come out of that health-wise? So how is it for the Colonels from a health standpoint?
Well, I think we were a little bit more banged up going into this game. We still had three of our better players that didn't make the trip to Sacramento, and we're hoping to get them back for this week. We came out of the game relatively healthy against Sacramento State. It was just that a little bit before that we kind of got banged up, man. We're just trying to get our guys back and, you know, have an opportunity, but it's the old mentality too, Mike, that next man up, we got to be ready to go.
You know, Coach Rebo, looking at, you know, Stephen F. Austin coming back into the conference, I thought I was kind of that was a surprising win. Look at McNeese State; they've struggled as of late, but that was a big win for them. When you look at the conference, I know you look at all within the conference and what did they do, like Incarnate Word and where you're at, you know, preseason predictions and all that. So, how do you look at the competition? I know you're taking care of your team, but going forward, looking at the Southland Conference. And where are they at as far as the competition?
Yeah, we do like to do that, Bobby. Every Monday morning in our team meeting where we, you know, giving out game awards and stuff, we take a look at what's happening around the conference. And we go through everybody. You know, we knew conference opener, McNeese, a big win for Gary Goff. I like him. He does a great job over there. Lamar with a big win on the road at Weber State. So, and then you just look at familiar foes, you know, and so we try to see how the team's doing, how they're stacking up. Southeastern got them a big win over a good Eastern Washington team. But, yeah, so our guys know because we want to see. Like, we play in Mississippi Valley this week, and 2 weeks ago they played Lamar. So, you know, kind of familiar. So we keep track of who's playing who.
Tim, I think one of the things is you've always sort of, even when you had Chase at quarterback, your teams were built on winning up front, running the football. And it sets up the passing game. You don't have so much pressure on the quarterback to make every throw. And I thought McQuaid, well, I thought he played really well against LSU. Wasn't so much this weekend against Sacramento State. But it all starts with the ability to run the football. Man, you had a difficult time this week against Sacramento State. Man, they seemingly every little gap, they had somebody there make the tackle, and they didn't get too much yardage after first contact.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about up front. Our O-line did not play particularly well, and Pat was under a lot of duress. Even, you know, we tried to play action and throw the ball a little bit. So, you know, you can't blame it all on the quarterback when you don't have a good game from that aspect. But, you know, we were missing Jalen Spears. So, you know, with the 1-2 punch of him and Guggenheim, we really just had Colin Guggenheim and then Marquise Albert filled in a little bit. But it's not like having Spears back there. So hopefully we can get him back this week and we can get that big running game going.
Now, Coach, when you look at right now, are you truly seeing like one game at a time? Like, obviously, you go against Mississippi Valley and you go from there and see what's going to come about. How do you approach that right now, considering, you know, you want to win and go on a streak? Just talk about what you tell the team.
Because I think it gives you confidence, Coach, when you get that W up on the board.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, one of the things that we've always approached the mindset of is, I just told the guys this morning, and not being arrogant, not being cocky, I said, I don't think there's a team left on our schedule that we cannot beat. You know, so we could theoretically go 9-3. You know, let's go 9-0 in the next games. All we got is we got Southern, we got Mississippi Valley, and we got the rest of the conference. But in order to go 9-0, you have to go 1-0. So that's the approach we got to look at. We want all this focus this week. Mississippi Valley's 0-3 like we are. They're going to be hungry, but it's our home opener. It's family day. We want to have a big crowd. Let's go 1-0. Then we got an open date, and then hopefully we can get some more guys healed up and then get ready for that stretch run like you're talking about, Bobby.
One of the things, Coach, is that especially for linemen and how you recruit, it's not a lot of offensive linemen that play right away, but this gives you an opportunity to maybe rethink that if there's maybe somebody that has made that growth run, either as an offensive or defensive lineman. Has there been someone that you thought, you know what, I'm a redshirt him, and then you've seen some growth over the last couple of weeks and say, you know what, he could be part of what we're doing here, either along the offensive line or in a rotation along the defensive line?
Yeah, I think there's a guy right now that we're thinking about redshirting, an offensive lineman, Jacob Carpenter. Don't think he's quite ready, but he may have to get ready. But Mike, it usually happened more so a second-year offensive lineman. And we redshirted one last year, and then we had a young man this year. Didn't know if he was quite ready, but he got thrown in the other day, and I thought he did a pretty good job. His name is Hamza Rockman. He's from Baton Rouge. He's going to get a lot more playing time because of what he showed and what he did on the field on Saturday.
Now, you know, Coach Rebo, when I look at, obviously you have a budget, and, you know, you play LSU and different teams, Louisiana Tech, and all that comes about. Is that, in your opinion, going to be part of the future? Will you still be able to have those type of games to help your budget? You know, I don't care whether it's Northwestern and Natchitoches, McNeese, Southeastern, whatever, throughout the Solid Conference, that you have still those kind of games to help your budget. You think you'll be a part of that or what?
Pretty well last week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, they went to South Alabama, Tulsa. Yeah.
Man, they got torn apart.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, but Bobby, it is part of who we are in the state of Louisiana, and we continue. And you know this, the schedules are made in advance, and we're making it right now. We having those conversations. You have to do it. You have to play it. Sometimes they even talk about, hey, you want to play a third one? And I said, man, by the time we play a third one, hopefully I'm going to be retired and be out of here.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Best of luck this coming Saturday. I know it's family day at Nichols, and good luck to you and the Colonels.
Man, thanks, guys. I know y'all having a good time. A big win yesterday in D-Town.
Well, one of us is.
Coach Rebo, I know you follow the Saints like everybody in Louisiana. That you able to watch part of that game or all of the game, whatever? That was an ass-whipping. I mean, come on.
Hey, Bobby, I do want to say this. Yes, I was in my office. I was doing some work, and I did have it on in the background. It's amazing, you know, how they came out and what they did on the road. But I do want to tell you this. I did tell the team in the meeting today, we were like...
We're back here on the second guest show. Mike DeTillo along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert, at a full house at the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi. Want to tell everybody thanks for coming out tonight, supporting the black and gold on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. We have on with us the head football coach of the Nichols State Colonels, Tim Rebo. And the Tim Rebo Show is brought to you by Thibodeau Regional Health System. Innovation for a healthy future. Tim, thanks so much for joining us. Tim, you saw the full fury of Sacramento State Saturday night. Man, they were clicking on all cylinders, starting off the season 0-2, but, man, everything seemingly worked for them. And sometimes you have games like that that, man, you catch a team. And you brought up last week, and Bob and I talked about it throughout the week, they may be the biggest team FCS-wise, and, man, they sure looked it.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a tough week, and what a difference a week does make. You know, we had flying out to the West Coast. I thought we had a good trip. I thought we were prepared. The guys had did some good things during the week. But for whatever reason, we came out sluggish. We came out slow. We fell behind and tried to fight back at the end of the half, but we just couldn't get anything going. And it was that home opener, Mike. They were 0-2. And, you know, just like us, and they had played two FBS schools also. I got to give them credit. They beat us in the trenches. They beat us up front, and that's where the game was won.
You know, Coach Rebo, how do you challenge the team? Is it very similar to maybe where you were last year? Because you still have a big light at the end of the tunnel. You know, you look at the postseason conference play. Is that kind of where you're at right now, that you're one game at a time and take care of what you could do in the conference?
Yeah, I think so, Bobby. I think the guys knew we had a tough three-game stretch here. The only difference, I think, where it is, last year after three games in week four, we were going open conference play. This year, we still have two more non-conference games that we can still fix some things and try to get us rolling on the right track. But, look, as a coach, you know you got to sell that all of our goals are still in front of us. Everything is still in front of us. Now we got our home opener this weekend, and we want to go 1-0.
Tim, I think you're always concerned about when you start the season against a Louisiana Tech and an LSU, and Sacramento State's a very physical team. How you come out of that health-wise? So how is it for the Colonels from a health standpoint?
Well, I think we were a little bit more banged up going into this game. We still had three of our better players that didn't make the trip to Sacramento, and we're hoping to get them back for this week. We came out of the game relatively healthy against Sacramento State. It was just that a little bit before that we kind of got banged up, man. We're just trying to get our guys back and, you know, have an opportunity, but it's the old mentality too, Mike, that next man up, we got to be ready to go.
You know, Coach Rebo, looking at, you know, Stephen F. Austin coming back into the conference, I thought I was kind of that was a surprising win. Look at McNeese State. They've struggled as of late, but that was a big win for them when you look at the conference. I know you look at all within the conference and what did they do, like Incarnate Word and where you're at, you know, preseason predictions and all that. So how do you look at the competition? I know you're taking care of your team, but going forward, looking at the Southland Conference, and where are they at as far as the competition?
Yeah, we do like to do that, Bobby. Every Monday morning in our team meeting where we, you know, giving out game awards and stuff, we take a look at what's happening around the conference. And we go through everybody. You know, we knew conference opener McNeese, a big win for Gary Goff. I like him. He does a great job over there. Lamar with a big win on the road at Weber State. So, and then you just look at familiar foes, you know, and so we try to see how the team's doing, how they're stacking up. Southeastern got them a big win over a good Eastern Washington team. But, yeah, so our guys know because we want to see. Like, we play in Mississippi Valley this week, and 2 weeks ago they played Lamar. So, you know, kind of familiar. So we keep track of who's playing who.
Tim, I think one of the things is you've always sort of, even when you had Chase at quarterback, your teams were built on winning up front, running the football. And it sets up the passing game. You don't have so much pressure on the quarterback to make every throw. And I thought McQuaid, I thought he played really well against LSU. Wasn't so much this weekend against Sacramento State. But it all starts with the ability to run the football. Man, you had a difficult time this week against Sacramento State. Man, they seemingly every little gap, they had somebody there make the tackle, and they didn't get too much yardage after first contact.
Yeah, and that's what I was talking about up front. Our O-line did not play particularly well, and Pat was under a lot of duress. Even, you know, we tried to play action and throw the ball a little bit. So, you know, you can't blame it all on the quarterback when you don't have a good game from that aspect. But, you know, we were missing Jalen Spears. So, you know, with the 1-2 punch of him and Guggenheim, we really just had Colin Guggenheim and then Marquise Albert filled in a little bit. But it's not like having Spears back there. So hopefully we can get him back this week and we can get that big running game going.
Now, Coach, when you look at right now, are you truly seeing like one game at a time? Like, obviously, you go against Mississippi Valley and you go from there and see what's going to come about. How do you approach that right now, considering, you know, you want to win and go on a streak? Just talk about what you tell the team.
Because I think it gives you confidence, Coach, when you get that W up on the board.
Yeah, I agree. And listen, one of the things that we've always approached the mindset of is, I just told the guys this morning, and not being arrogant, not being cocky, I said, I don't think there's a team left on our schedule that we cannot beat. You know, so we could theoretically go 9-3. You know, let's go 9-0 in the next games. All we got is we got Southern, we got Mississippi Valley, and we got the rest of the conference. But in order to go 9-0, you have to go 1-0. So that's the approach we got to look at. We want all this focus this week. Mississippi Valley's 0-3 like we are. They're going to be hungry, but it's our home opener. It's family day. We want to have a big crowd. Let's go 1-0. Then we got an open date, and then hopefully we can get some more guys healed up. And then get ready for that stretch run like you're talking about, Bobby.
One of the things, Coach, is that especially for linemen and how you recruit, it's not a lot of offensive linemen that play right away, but this gives you an opportunity to maybe rethink that if there's maybe somebody that has made that growth run, either as an offensive or defensive lineman. Has there been someone that you thought, you know what, I'm a redshirt him, and then you've seen some growth over the last couple of weeks and say, you know what, he could be part of what we're doing here, either along the offensive line or in a rotation along the defensive line?
Yeah, I think there's a guy right now that we're thinking about redshirting, an offensive lineman, Jacob Carpenter. Don't think he's quite ready, but he may have to get ready. But Mike, it usually happened more so a second-year offensive lineman. And we redshirted one last year, and then we had a young man this year. Didn't know if he was quite ready, but he got thrown in the other day, and I thought he did a pretty good job. His name is Hamza Rockman. He's from Baton Rouge. He's going to get a lot more playing time because of what he showed and what he did on the field on Saturday.
Now, you know, Coach Rebo, when I look at obviously you have a budget, and, you know, you play LSU and different teams, Louisiana Tech, and all it comes about. Is that, in your opinion, going to be part of the future? Will you still be able to have those type of games to help your budget? You know, I don't care whether it's Northwestern and Natchitoches, McNeese, Southeastern, whatever, throughout the Solid Conference. that you have still those kind of games to help your budget. You think you'll be a part of that or what?
Pretty well last week.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No, they went to South Alabama, Tulsa. Yeah.
Man, they got torn apart.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but, Bobby, it is part of who we are in the state of Louisiana. And we continue. And you know this. The schedules are made in advance. And we're making it right now. We having those conversations. You have to do it. You have to play it. Sometimes they even talk about, hey, you want to play a third one? And I said, man, by the time we play a third one, hopefully I'm going to be retired and be out of here.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Best of luck this coming Saturday. I know it's family day at Nichols, and good luck to you and the Colonels.
Man, thanks, guys. I know y'all having a good time. A big win yesterday in D-Town.
Well, one of us is.
Coach Rebo, I know you follow the Saints. Like everybody in Louisiana, that you able to watch part of that game or all of the game, whatever, that was an ass whipping. I mean, come on.
Hey, Bobby, I do want to say this. Yes, I was in my office, I was doing some work, and I did have it on in the background. It's amazing, you know, how they came out and what they did on the road. But I do want to tell you this. I did tell the team in the meeting today, we were like the Dallas Cowboys going in the meeting today. We got our butts whipped. We got to regroup. We got to find out. We learned some things about, you know, what we lost. So I know that feeling. So I got to look for some leadership, and that's what we talked about today.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it, bud.
All right, Tim.
All right, guys. See y'all later.
All righty. Tim Rebo, the head football coach of the Nichols State Colonels. And Tim's segment each week is brought to you by Thibodaux Regional Health System, innovation for a healthy future. We'll be back to finish it off here in hour number two on the second guest show at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this break. We're finishing up here on hour number two on second guest. We're at the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be here until 6:30 tonight. And then we'll throw it to the Saints Radio Network. It'll be the Saints Coaches Show. Mike Hoss will be hosting. He'll bring Bobby and I into the conversation throughout the hour, but he'll have on with him Saints head coach Dennis Allen, and his guest tonight will be Saints linebackers coach Michael Hodges. And, Bob, yesterday during the broadcast, man, I heard Tom Brady said, I can't believe DeMario Davis is still playing at this level at his age. And he really praised Dennis Allen, because when it got brought up to him about how'd you like to play up against Dennis Allen defenses, he said, I hated it.
You know, I think DeMario Davis and his impact might be the second greatest player behind Drew Brees to ever come to the Saints organization.
I couldn't argue with you.
He's an honorary member of the Dawn Patrol, even though he didn't play with the Dawn Patrol. He is that good. I mean, the double D is that good.
I agree with you there. We'll be back with more second guests live from the Silver Slipper Casino, Beachside in Hancock County, Mississippi, right after this news break here on the Big 870 WWL.